Hey everyone, and welcome to episode one of the Solopreneur Grind Show. I am here with Dennis. Dennis, it's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for coming on.
It is a pleasure to be here, sir. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So Dennis, just to get started, can you give us a little bit of a background on what it is you do, what you kind of specialize in right now, and then we can get more into the story of how it started and some more business talk and strategy like that.
Sure. Well, right now I am a certified coach and educator, and I specialize in communication and confidence building. So I work with clients in all areas of communication, public speaking, definitely, and also, you know, broadcasting, podcasting, public speaking, communicating with others, anything that brings you in contact with communicating with one or more people. I also specialize in confidence building. Building up your confidence and self-esteem so you can take action on your entrepreneurial or other goals.
Awesome. That's really cool. And you've been doing it for around how long? And if you don't mind just going into a little bit of how you got started, especially with the kind of solopreneur, entrepreneurial kind of side hustle people these days, obviously different types of coaching is really popular. So I'd really like to know how you broke into it and how you got into the particular niche that you're in.
Well, I have always had in my system this just drive to teach and guide and help people. That was my earliest, I mean, you could say that was my first love. My first love, right? Was teaching. You know, I used to always pretend I'm standing in front of a large classroom full of people. But also, I had a knack for communication. I wanted to be a broadcaster. I wanted to be a public speaker. I just, all these things were racing through my head as a kid. So these are the things that's followed me throughout my whole life. But after some years of kind of working dead-end jobs and basically not really planning for my future very well, there was a point in my life where, you know, they say you hit rock bottom, you know.
Right.
So there was a point in my life, and my rock bottom period lasted for a couple of years.
Right.
And during that time period, I realized that I needed to reform my life, change the direction of my life, think more long term, think about building something stable and get into a real career that would take me far. And so I fell back on my first loves of teaching and guiding and speaking. And I found this coaching school. One day I was bored. I was looking, I wonder what it takes to be a coach. I had already been doing some tutoring and some ESL stuff with some clients. And I'm like, how about I take this further? What's it like to be a coach? So one day I was just Googling around. Right.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to cut you off, Dennis. Yeah. At this point, did you have that niche in mind of confidence and speaking, or was this just more general? You liked the idea of coaching on a full-time basis?
I knew I wanted to coach. I knew I wanted to help men, but I didn't necessarily know exactly how that would turn out.
Right.
So I didn't have like a fully formed niche and brand in my head yet. I just knew I wanted to coach and speak and so forth, and I wanted to help other men. That's right. All I knew at the time. I was Googling.
Right.
So after Googling my ass off, I found this school in Canada, and I'm like, oh, okay, let's check this out. I immediately scheduled one of those introductory sessions, I guess.
Yeah.
And the first school was the first one I chose. And so I went there and I got certified. And when I came out, I had a better idea of what I wanted to do. I started building my brand, by doing all the foundational stuff, I knew I wanted to help men. By that time, I knew I wanted to deal with men having to do with building confidence. And I knew I wanted to have my teaching and speaking play into it. So I started the groundwork in building my business, and eventually, you know, it took shape.
Awesome. So let's go into a little bit more detail, because you've been doing it now for a few years, and I've seen the website and, you know, some of the testimonials and stuff like that, which looks awesome. But when you say started building the brand, like, how did you do it? Can we go into a little more specifics? Like, you know, did you build a website first? Did you do, you know, how did you pick that niche specifically? Was it from the course that you took, or was it from something else you did? You know, anything like that?
Well, my first instinct was to help people based on the struggles that I've been struggling with.
Right.
Basically, you know, confidence. My main focus back then, and when I first started this, is confidence, helping men to be more confident. So I, even before I had a website, I started my little Facebook page for my business. I started talking to all different kinds of men in the age bracket that I thought I wanted to serve. Talked to family members, talked to other men I knew. I got a couple of people that I was coaching them for free. I really just got into what men needed, what was on the table, what was going through their minds, how they wanted to move forward. And I tried to build my brand around that. Eventually,
right. So that sounds like a casual way of saying market research, right?
You kind yes, of put yourself yes, yeah, yeah. You can definitely say market research.
Right.
I still have those notes from all those years ago too. It was definitely market research. And of course, you know, Googling helped. I read articles. I joined other people's coaching mailing lists. I just went buck wild, as they say, with market research and looking at what other coaches were doing and starting to learn the field that I was entering.
Right.
Things like that. And then I finally made my website. It was a different name than what I have now. So I made my website and I started moving forward. At some point, I really wanted to get into more of the speaking and communication. So I had a natural talent for that. I had already been hosting podcasts before. I had already done some voiceover work, and I really wanted to help people learn how to communicate better, both one-on-one and in a large audience. So
right.
The same year I was doing all that research for confidence building, I had entered Toastmasters, which is a international speaking and leadership organization. Mm-hmm. And it made my speaking skills even better than they already were. And I went through the whole Toastmaster program and became what they call a DTM, a Distinguished Toastmaster. Right. That takes several years to do. It's a whole lot of stuff. So I learned more about the craft of speaking. I actually learned what I was already doing without knowing what I was already doing, so I could teach it to others. And so I kind of just said, you know what? Confidence and communication, they go hand in hand. You know, to be a communicator, an effective communicator, you need to have a certain level of confidence in yourself and your message. And so I got to a kind of a crossroads, because all the material tells you you're supposed to pick one niche. You're supposed to pick one niche. And I was really befuddled by this. Am I going to be a men's coach that focuses on confidence building and improving intimacy and those things where my passion is helping men be the best men they can be and, you know, get their confidence up and better intimacy and healthy spirituality, all that stuff where my heart is? Or my heart was also in communication and public speaking. That's one of my original talents.
Right.
But all the material and other coaches I spoke to and marketing coaches, you're supposed to pick one niche right. only. Start out with one niche and then you'll go expand it. But I just felt like I was cutting off a part of me if I only focused on one of those things.
Right.
So I started trying to figure out how to combine them into one brand, communication and coaching. And yeah, they are two different things in a way, because the people who have hired me for confidence building and development of their life plan, they're not necessarily looking to learn how to speak better. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. Public speakers just focus on public speaking. You never hear about their personal life or their intimate life, because they are two different things in a way. But in a way, they're the same thing. Because public speakers, I often find myself working on confidence stuff with them.
Right.
So in other words, I just felt like I needed to put those two brands together to make one brand instead of feeling like I'm cutting off half of my passion.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like they're so interrelated that it, you know, because I've read a ton of the stuff too that says, you know, the pick one niche, et cetera, et cetera. But yours sounds so interrelated and beneficial to one another that, you know, the brand you've made around them just seems to make a lot of sense, right? If it was one thing if you were picking confidence and marketing, you know what I mean? Or like two non-related niches, but in this case, they seem to go really well together.
Yeah, they do seem to blend well together. And like I said, sometimes the clientele that hires me for one is different than what hires me for the other. Like I said, if you hire me for confidence building and developing your personal life or being better intimately, that doesn't mean you want to speak in front of a crowd. So right. At some point they do divide, but I have a passion for both niches, both practices. And I didn't want to do that. Let's just do one and phase in the other. That works. It definitely works. And a lot of people use that strategy. You start out with one and you expand. But I guess for me, I just felt that I needed to combine them and do them both, even right. if they ended up being slightly separate clientele at times.
Right. Now let's say there's someone who, you know, like you all those years ago, they want to give something like this a try. They want to help people. They don't know how yet. Kind of like when you entered that course, you knew you wanted to do some type of coaching, but you didn't know what yet. What would you recommend to those people to flesh out that strategy or that idea or to pick a niche to get into?
Woo. Okay, so brainstorming, really sitting back and thinking about, one, what are you passionate about? What sets you aflame? You know, right. The thing, like I mentioned, teaching is my first love, my earliest first love, quickly followed by voice work. So what sets you on fire? What do you really want to do? What did you pretend you were when you were a kid? Your very first love. All right. So brainstorm, write some of that stuff down. Then think about, what do you know the most about? You know, what do you know the most about? What comes easy to you? What do you have some sort of intrinsic knowledge that you can even get better at? You know?
Right.
So figure out what you're passionate about. Figure out what you know the most about. And if you're passionate about something that you need to know more about, go ahead and do it. Go out and take a course. Go out and read more. Go out and learn more. So that's the first step I would say. Figure out what you're passionate about and so on. Yeah.
Yeah, so many resources out there now that, you know, whether it be in-person courses, online, e-books, physical books, you know, endless.
Absolutely. When I was beginning to try to put this together, I read everything. I was on every coach's list. I was talking to every man I can get in contact with. I was just, and like I said, I entered Toastmasters. I just immersed myself into these things that I wanted to really do so I could learn even more about it.
Right.
The second step I would say would be talking to people that want these services and see what they need.
Right.
Because it's one thing to know what you want to offer. It's another thing to know what the public actually is looking for.
Right. So how did you go about that? You said you were reaching out to people. Was this on Facebook, or you mentioned people in real life and stuff like that as well?
People on Facebook. It was my, you know, close friends. It was my family. It was acquaintances. I had these papers in my earlier years talking to different men, and I was asking them questions like, you know, what's going on in your life? Where's your life right now? How do you rate your life? What do you think you need to improve it? How is your relationship? How is your intimate life working? How is your home life working? Like, I just took a whole assessment
right.
of where people were and what they really wanted to improve on, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, and that's an ongoing thing too. Like, even now I still keep track of where people's heads are, you know? So
Absolutely.
These kind of things don't necessarily end, but yeah, that's the second step, figuring out what people want from what your talents are.
Right. That's so important. Yeah. And probably overlooked a lot. By some people who might just start throwing products together without doing that diligence first.
Yeah, certainly, because sometimes, you know, we can get so self-involved in our own head, like, oh, great, now I know how to speak, now I know how to, you know, do all this, so I'm just going to put out courses to teach people how to, I don't know, I'm making up something, pronounce words.
Right.
But what if the population really wants to know how to deliver a speech on stage and not necessarily pronounce words, but more deliver a speech on stage. I'm making this stuff up just to illustrate that it's not enough for you to think you know what people want. You have to go out there and figure out what the public wants out of your pool of talent and deliver it to them.
Right, right. Now, at this point, when you're doing all this kind of brainstorming, market research, are you dedicating full-time hours to this? Were you still working at another job?
At the time that I was putting all this together, I was doing side things. I was still doing some freelance voiceover stuff. And I was doing that. And I was running a telecommunication system, aka chat lines. I was basically, that's what I was doing as I was building my business, just doing voiceover work and running chat lines.
Yeah. And I think that's so important. It's like anyone who's starting out something like this or on their own, you're not going to go from zero to one, right? It's going to take some time. And especially if you maybe don't have a lot sitting in your savings account, it's perfectly fine to do some of that other stuff to supplement your income in the meantime. And also because you never know what could happen, right? If the main idea just doesn't take off, then it's good to have some backup plans. Were you concerned about that? Like how confident were you in what you were doing with this new kind of project?
Well, I actually was pretty confident. I knew that the communication end of it would be wildly successful if I can just get some of my own skills correct, like, you know, proper marketing, proper delivery of message, because the communication part, public speaking and communication, I mean, I knew that part would be hugely successful. It just took effort by me. I wasn't as confident on, you know, the confidence building area of it in the beginning, because again, that could be separate from communication. Some people aren't looking to communicate better. They're just looking to be confident in other areas. And so I was a little less sure about that part of my combo brand, I should say.
Which is hilariously ironic that you had less confidence in the confidence building part of your business.
Yeah. I had less confidence in confidence and more confidence in public speaking.
Yeah. So what do you suggest then for people who maybe it's their first time doing something like this and don't necessarily have the confidence to kind of go all in, or even if you are all in and you're not fully confident in it, I think that can play a part too. So what would you recommend to people who may not be sure, or maybe they're dedicating a ton of hours, but they're not confident in themselves or their products or anything like that?
Well, I mean, if you're not confident in yourself, that would be some work that you could do to flush out why you're not confident in yourself and challenge those thoughts. I mean, this is just personal confidence building. Challenge those thoughts on why you're not being confident, why you're not confident in something. Also, look at your past, because I, at least I'll speak for myself, becoming a coach wasn't the first time I ever coached anybody. You know, I've been coaching my whole life, you know, friends, acquaintances, you know, stuff like that. So look at your past and see where you've used this before and see how successful it was. Because success doesn't always mean money. You know, when I was coaching, when I was mentoring teens, I wasn't getting paid for that. When I give advice to my friends, when I help my friends get better at something, when I help my family members get, I wasn't getting paid for that. But it worked for them. It was successful. They really benefited from it. So look at the things you've done in your past, in your life in general, in this area, and see how it worked. That's one.
That's such great insight. Yeah, just to cut you off. It's so easy to overlook, right? But no, I just wanted to highlight that because that's a really great point.
Yeah. Most people who are following their passions and turn that into profit, they didn't just start being passionate when they had their first dollar. They were passionate probably since a child or close to it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, definitely. And then I cut you off. Were you going to go to another point on that?
Well, I would also say, as far as being more confident in your niche, I think some of the market research could also help too. When you talk to people and see how bad people want these services you're providing. Like for me, I told you I was less confident on the confident building, But as I talk to more men, I see that there's a huge need, is a huge gap. And there are people who need safe spaces and room to build their confidence and think things through. And so hearing the fact that people need that space helps me to silence my own negative loop voices and just continue. And you'll be able to decide after a while of being into it, you know, when you deal with all the specifics that are around dealing with business and people, is this something you really want to do? Because sometimes we get into something all passionate and we really think we want to do it. But then when we actually have to do it all the time, we think, this isn't exactly what I really wanted to do. And right. So it's okay to rethink your business plan as well.
Right. Yeah. It's not written in stone, right?
No, not at all.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's some really great insight. Dennis, I want to kind of, it's not a wrap up because there's still a bit to discuss, but kind of the last topic, so to speak, I want to touch on is, what are three things that you think you've done really well to grow your business that you know, you could recommend to others? And then I'd also like to discuss three things that you're struggling with. And maybe we could kind of flesh those out together and build on them. But just to give the listeners and myself an idea of, you know, what have you been doing that's worked really well that might work well for us? And then three ways you're struggling, and maybe we could do some brainstorming around that to kind of finish off.
One of the things I think I do well, you know, you always they're telling me I sound arrogant if I start talking about this kind of stuff. One of the things I think I do really well is promotion. Right. I promote things. If I'm passionate about something, I put it in it. I talk to people. I mention it. I'm good on internet sharing things and posting things. And just once a product or something is done and I really believe in it, I push and push and promote it. I think I do a pretty good job at promotion. And when I say that, I also mean every area, like speaking. Like I can go out and give a speech and I'm pretty confident that I can get people to hire me after the speech. In fact, that has happened right. plenty of times.
Right.
So one thing I'm confident in my ability to do is promote. Mm-hmm. The next thing that I'm confident in now, do you mean running the business itself or actually dealing with clients?
Anything, really anything related to, you know, getting set up and running a business like the one that you have.
I think I'm very good at researching a topic I'm passionate about. That's number two that I think I'm good at. Mm-hmm. Just reading everything, harnessing all the resources that are out there, joining all these lists, listening to podcasts, reading things, talking to other coaches and speakers. So I think I'm really good at doing the research. Mm-hmm. And the third thing I think I'm good at is making clients feel comfortable. I think I work with clients well, especially clients that fall into, you know, the niches and that I'm working in. I relate to people great one-on-one. I think I know how to do that and make them feel comfortable, like there's a safe space. When I'm in front of a class, I know how to work a class. I know how to make all those people in that class feel comfortable. I know how to make my lessons fun. I know how to do all that. So all the things that go into keeping someone's attention and or giving them a safe space to be themselves, I think I do that well.
Right. Do you have one top tip on how others could improve on that? Because that seems extremely valuable, especially in the area that you're in.
The only tip that I can, well, not the only one, but the one that first came to my mind right this second is understanding that everybody is fine where they are. That you don't have to improve anyone. You just have to be there and give them the space to learn and grow. And you are the facilitator of that. But when you approach a client or a classroom, don't approach them like there's something wrong with them, there's something missing or whatever. You're the facilitator for them to improve themselves. And right. So when I meet with people, you know, many times I turn off my own judgments, my own perceptions, my own whatever, because we all have them, and give that person the space to be themselves and facilitate their own growth for themselves.
Right. That's awesome. That's a really good perspective to kind of have for that. Great. And so let's shift to the three things that you're either struggling with or could use the most help with in terms of running your business.
Now, this may surprise you or whoever after I just finished talking about all that, but I actually don't think I'm very good with articulating my own past.
Right.
I have a lot of aspects to my life. I have a lot of experience, a lot of different kinds of experiences. I fit into several different demographic minorities, and I don't always know how to summarize and deliver that message all the time. So while I'm good at promoting my own product or whatever, I'm not necessarily good with my own backstory as far as how to deliver that. It may sound like a contradiction, because what am I promoting if I don't have a backstory?
Right.
But there's the contradictions of life.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do a pretty good job of it, and it's very subjective, right? And I think the best way to maybe improve upon that is to kind of cater it to your audience, because like you said, you do have a broad background in many ways, and different people are going to connect to different parts of that. So maybe instead of just saying all of it, you could, I don't know, maybe have a couple different pitches in your head prepared or practiced depending on the people you're speaking to. But I think you do a good job, and I think you did a pretty succinct job of it at the beginning of the episode, if that's any consolation.
Well, I appreciate that. I've had people tell me that I'm a better storyteller than I give myself credit for. I don't count myself as a good storyteller. I just don't. But other people said that I'm much better than I think I am.
Right. Well, I mean, it's also good to have things you want to improve on, right? Like you're constantly looking to improve.
I just think it's funny how, you know, it's a contradiction how I think I'm a good speaker and many people agree, but yet I don't think I'm a good storyteller. So there's probably some self-doubt, self-negative thing in there instead of it actually maybe being fully true. But you're asking my opinion on myself, so.
Well, you should take some Dennis Sumlin advice and maybe do some brainstorming or journaling on that and seeing what comes up from it, right?
Brainstorming. Carry your umbrella.
Yeah, exactly. So what about number two and or three?
The third thing I don't think I'm good in, or that I would think I need improvement. I think I'm working on it, but I don't know how good I am. You see, I'm an introvert, so I'm great on stage, making you want to download my courses and stuff, but if you drop me in a room full of 200 people and I'm just some dude there,
yeah,
I find it a little hard to spark conversation. And I think that goes back into what I was saying before about me not really feeling like I can deliver my own story all that well sometimes.
Right.
I think as an introvert, you drop me in the middle of a pool of people, just some dude there. I think I get a little bit like, oh, well, how do I keep the conversation going? And, you know, I get a little like, I know I want to make a connection, but I'm not quite sure how to do it. You know, even though I coach other people in how to do it and I can do it at times. But again, there are times that my introversion gets the better of me and I'm just like, I don't know always what to say. So,
yeah, no, it's funny. As soon as you started that, I knew exactly where you were going because I'm also introverted. I actually like to speak as well, but I definitely prefer the smaller groups and as opposed to a large social setting. I was talking about this with someone on another podcast earlier this week about how what I think is the easiest way is to just ask really good questions to people and be interested in them, which also doubles as some market research as well, right? Like, you're just learning about somebody else and their story and their potential needs and stuff like that. But if you can just treat it as Just get you're getting to know some more people. You're getting some more insight, some more knowledge just from people in general, asking good questions, you know, where they're from, what they do, why they like it, why they don't like it, where they want to go. That's what I've been using personally at networking events and things like that, where I normally wouldn't feel as comfortable, but it makes things much kind of easier and I don't want to say stressful, but you know, us introverts, like you said, plopped into a big room, we're not definitely not in our comfort zone there.
No, we're not. And this me being introvert goes back to the list of what I'm good in. The reason why I'm good at giving one-on-one people a comfort zone or a small classroom is because of that reason, mm-hmm. because I'm an introvert. If I'm one-on-one with you, I'm totally fine.
Right. But couldn't you kind of treat that large social setting as just many little one-on-ones, right? Because if you can, you don't necessarily have to join a group of eight people talking, right? You could talk to one or two people at a time and just carve out your own little one-on-ones, and that could make you feel a little bit more comfortable as well.
Yeah, sure. I think it's a work in progress. I think that I've put myself in situations that I, you know, was seeing if I could improve in that. You know, but as on top of being an introvert, I'm somebody who is very conscious of spirit energy and vibes and so forth. And mm-hmm. so when there's too many people around, it's an energy overload for me. So it's hard for me to, I like relating to one person at a time. So when you have 10, 12, 13, 14 people around me at the same time and many people are trying to whatever, it's an energy overload for me because I'm very receptive of energy and vibes and auras and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Well, we all have our list, and the day you don't have a list of things to improve on is probably not the ideal day. But Dennis, this has been awesome. Do you have any last advice for maybe someone who, we kind of touch on this a little bit, but looking to break into coaching, they haven't started yet. Doesn't necessarily have to be strategy, but just kind of any last words of wisdom for people looking to get started.
I would say, think about, you know, is coaching for you? You know, first think about whether is coaching for you or is another mode of delivery for you, because you can work in a niche and deliver your message or your product in many different ways. So, mm-hmm. you know, think about, you know, whether coaching is for you, and then sit down and really write out even a rudimentary plan on how you're going to build it. Like get an idea on where you want to be, where you are now, where you want to be in 5 years and so forth. And, you know, that's what I had to do when I was living impulsively and doing dead end jobs and so forth before I hit my rock bottom. You know, once I decided to think more long term, I had to think about, okay, where am I now and where do I want to end up with this coaching thing I'm getting into?
Right. Right. Great. That's awesome stuff, Dennis. Thanks again for coming on. You've mentioned your website and stuff. Do you want to, about some of that quickly?
Yeah, no problem. If you are looking to communicate better, you know, or if you want to be a public speaker or you already are a public speaker looking to improve, you can, you know, my website, coreconfidencelife.com. You know, you're looking to build your confidence to start that entrepreneurial business that we're talking about, or you want to be more confident in the bedroom or with your partner or things like that. Confidence building, coreconfidencelife.com. On there, you'll find two of my podcasts and articles and free downloads and everything you can think of.
Awesome. We'll have a link to that in the description. And Dennis, thanks a lot for coming on. It's been a lot of fun.
That is cool. Thank you.
Awesome. Take care.